Welcome to Family Talk with your host, psychologist and author, Dr. James Dobson, along with Ryan Dobson and Lou Ann Crane.
Well, Ryan, since you're the featured guest on today's broadcast, I'm going to take your usual responsibility of helping Lou Ann to open the program by welcoming our listeners and introducing today's topic.
You're doing a good job, Doctor.
I have usurped your responsibility.
Can I switch chairs with you? Is that okay, too?
Why not?
I look forward to whatever you've got in store today. It's good to be here.
And Lou Ann, you jump in here as we go along.
I will, but I'm looking forward to what you two have to say.
Well, I want to go back to 2003 when, Ryan, you and I met at the Hampton Inn in Palm Desert, California. And we went there to talk on tape. It was an interview about your then brand new book, Be Intolerant. You remember that day?
I do. I remember it very well.
That was before you were married to Laura.
Mm-hmm.
You hadn't even met her yet.
It seems like it was yesterday. I mean, 7 years goes by so quickly, and yet so much has happened.
And so do 50 years go by in a big hurry. Obviously, that was before the birth of my grandson, Lincoln. And you were living in Southern California at that time before mm-hmm. moving to Colorado like you have and where you are today. And what we're going to do here today is to let our listeners hear the recording of the interchange between you and me back in 2003, because so much has happened since mm-hmm. then. What will jump out at our listeners is what might be called a time of divine ordination for you, when you were given a message and a mission and it was laid on you. And I think we're going to hear that in your reactions to what I was saying. Is that an accurate interpretation?
It is. It's even more surprising to look back over the past 7 years and think that I was just starting. You know, it felt like I was in the thick of it, that I had gotten a calling, I had heard an ordination, and I was in the middle of it. And really, it was just the beginning of a ministry that I hope will last for the rest of my life.
Well, at one point in that interview, you became so overcome with emotion that you were unable to speak for a couple of minutes. And there was what's called dead air. There was silence. We could hear you crying in the background, but God was working on you and working in your life at that time, wasn't he?
It's true. You know, on some level, I wish we would cut that part out of it. But that's the call I felt. It's the one I answered, and he has not led me astray. This is my home now in Colorado. I'm freezing. Right this moment, I'm in a wool jacket in the studio. I'm cold all the time in winter. But he has been very, very faithful, and it's just a surprise every day to look back and think how far we've come, and it seems like the blink of an eye.
Well, Lou Ann, let's hear the interview.
Let's do. I love this because it really captures your heart. What we're about to hear is the interchange between Dr. James Dobson and Ryan Dobson from 2003.
Ryan, welcome. You remind me of another guy that I used to know named Dobson, who in his early days experienced some pretty exciting things. What do you attribute this to?
It's great to be here. What do I attribute this to? Just the Lord's blessing. I don't know why he uses me, but I'm not complaining. I feel called to this. I love what I do. I'm passionate about it. I believe in it. And I will do it as long as the Lord allows me to do this.
What is the source of that passion? How do you describe that fire in the belly?
It's hard. It really does come from a love of people, from caring about people. And yet at times I get carried away. The fire gets to be too hot. And that's what it comes from.
Describe the younger generation for those who don't know, Ryan. What are they experiencing? What do they believe? Talk about the confusion that's there. Talk about those lies.
Dad, this is a tough time for kids. I mean, every generation thinks that theirs is worse than before, but it is clearly a tough generation now. STDs are just out of control, younger and younger. I was speaking up in upstate New York, and I was talking with a doctor, and he said they had just had a breakout of sexually transmitted diseases, and the fastest growing age group was 13-year-olds, junior hires with sexually transmitted diseases. I mean, if you just turn the TV on, it's all sex. It's the glorification of drug use, alcohol abuse, godlessness, of the belief in nothing. I mean, everywhere they turn, it's affecting them. It's
and
just
profanity, using God's name in vain. I just get so frustrated when I hear God's name rake through the gutter. You know, 2 Peter 2, 7 and 8 says, Lot was vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. It vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. You know, that's the way I feel about our culture. When I turn on the television, when I see this all around, it's the effect it has on me. Isn't that the way you feel about it, too?
I do. I feel it just makes me so sad. I get overwhelmed by it, to see kids hurting the way that they do. It's killing me to see what they're going through out there.
They are receptive, though, to the truth, aren't they?
For the most part. Some people don't like what I have to say. There are people that this makes them uncomfortable. To say being tolerant is just about the worst thing you can say out there. But the kids that get it, that understand what I'm saying, they're changed. I get emails from their parents saying, what did you tell my son? What did you say to my daughter? They're changed. They're different because they understand that there is that absolute truth out there.
All right, let's go to the title of your book. You've referred to it and I've referred to it. The title is Be Intolerant Because Some Things Are Just Stupid. Now, you know, of all the words that do represent political correctness today that almost everybody seems to believe and the universities base most of their teaching on is being contradicted by this. Mm-hmm. Be intolerant. Yes. You're saying I'm not only intolerant, but I feel it is right to be intolerant because some things are stupid.
It's true, because you can't believe in anything. You can't believe in everything. You've got to pick and choose. You can't believe that, you know, putting sugar in your gas tank is going to make it run. No one would believe that. But some people say, well, I can believe what I want to believe. You can believe something. I can believe something different. We can both be right. That's stupid. You can't believe that. There is a school system here in California where if you ask a child what 2 + 2 is and he says 5, as a teacher, you can't say, I'm sorry, you're incorrect. You have to say, well, that could be an answer. No, it can't. It can't be an answer. That answer is wrong. It is incorrect. And to tell a child that it could be an answer is to set them up for future failure. It's not right. It is unfair to teach kids they can believe in anything.
Well, now, the implications of being intolerant means that you're going to be disrespectful to people and you're going to run over their rights and you're going to try to hurt them and reject them and make fun of them.
No,
that's not what you're talking
about.
It's not.
And that's, you know, we talk about this. People have got to stop being so thin-skinned. You know, I'm not trying to disrespect people or to put them down or to be mean. I mean, I wasn't in college that long ago. I'm not that old. We debated. If I believe something, you believe something different, we would discuss it and talk about it. It's like working out. Your muscles are sore after they work out because you've worked them out. They get built because of that. I did this with a kid 5 nights ago. I did this. I have a kid that I met, and he just moved his girlfriend in with him. They got engaged. They're going to get married in 2 years. They're going to live together for 2 years. And I said, Chris, man, what are you doing? And I teased with him. I said, you're living out of God's will. God's not happy with that. Why are you living in sin? What do you mean? I said, you're living in sin, man. You can't do that. You can't sleep with your girlfriend. What are you talking about? I said, Chris, I just want you to have a successful marriage. And science says you're hurting your chances. Those that live together have a higher divorce rate than the average population. And the average population's already at 52%. He goes, well, I think I'm helping my chances of a successful marriage. What do you base that on? I don't know. Yeah. Nothing. He got nothing. I have scientific evidence. And he says, I don't know.
And furthermore, he's in contradiction with Scripture,
of course,
the creator of families.
Of course. I'm not trying to put people down. I just want to help. That's why I'm doing this. If I didn't care about people, I wouldn't write the book. Go destroy your life. I don't care. That wouldn't bother me, but I care. That's why I'm doing this. And that's what I'm telling Christians. If you say you love Christ, Christ calls us to love other people. If you love other people, you must be intolerant, but be intolerant in love. Not in a, oh, I've got all the truth, I'm so great, I'm so cool. Not in a prideful way, but in a way that says, I care. I don't want you to go to hell. I want you to change. I want you to know peace. I want you to know the love of Christ.
You really do feel that this message was given to you by the Lord for this generation,
yes,
that you are on a mission, that there is a divine ordination in this calling.
I do, you know, and honestly, I've talked to you about this. This is not easy. I don't like making people uncomfortable. I'm a nice guy. I'm a happy person. I like to have a good time. I don't want people to be mad at me. But I've told the Lord, these are my heart's desires. This is what I want for my life, but not what my will, but your will, not my will. Whatever you want me to do, I'll do. And God said, Ryan, I want you to do this message. I'm telling you, over 2 years ago, I started to write a speech on this, and I battled with the Lord because I wanted to ease into it. And I wanted to say, you know, I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. And I wanted to kind of dance around these issues and then kind of get into it. And the Lord said, I want you to be hard-hitting. I want you to be upfront. I want you to be abrasive. I want you to be truthful. I want you to be bold. And I said, I want to do this. And he said, you will either do this or you will sin. And I said, I don't like that. That's not fair. I don't want to sin. He said, you will do it my way or you will sin. Yeah, I heard that. As an audible voice in my head, I heard that. I wrote that talk in 10 minutes. I just wrote that thing straight out. And it's hard to give. It's not easy. I promise.
Yeah. What do you say to the people that tell you you need to be eternally positive, that people won't listen to a message that disturbs them?
Yeah, some won't. You're right. Some will not. And you know what? This is where it comes in. Ezekiel 33:3 says this. It says, the watchman sees the enemy coming and sounds the alarm. And I'm sounding that alarm. And some people, it says furthermore, if they hear the alarm and don't take heed, they are responsible for their own death. If they die, it's their fault. And some people will hear what I have to say and say, you need to be more positive, Ryan. We don't like what you have to say. You're responsible for your own death. But if the watchman sees the enemy coming and does not sound the alarm, then he is responsible for the people's death. The Lord has opened my eyes. He has let me see the future.
I thank God for that passion, Ryan.
It's just hard. I've seen the enemy coming. And the Lord says, I'm responsible. I am responsible for the people. If they die because I didn't sound the alarm, I am personally responsible.
Ryan, in your book, you gave an incredible illustration about a barge that had to do with sounding the alarm.
Yeah. There's a barge that pushed over a support for a bridge, and part of the freeway collapsed. I think it was over the Missouri River, and cars just started heading off into the abyss. Whole families died, and there are these fishermen in boats seeing this mayhem, seeing the calamity. And they were saying to themselves, what do we do? Well, what do we do? There's nothing we can do. They're just going to die. And one fisherman said, I got to do something. And he jumped out of his boat. He ran up the embankment and he pulled out a flare gun and he starts firing his flares at a semi. And these flares go bouncing off the windshield and the semi hits his brakes and comes to a screeching halt and jackknifes his semi with the front wheels hanging over the edge of that abyss. And I tell kids, I'm sure when that guy was getting hit by the flares, he was furious. Who's shooting at me? What's going on? Why would someone shoot at me? What are you doing? Stop! And he's upset and he's angry. And all of a sudden he comes to a screeching halt to try to stop getting hit. And he realizes he was heading over a cliff, a literal cliff. He would have died. And him jackknifing that semi saved hundreds of people from going over the edge. And he's thanked that fisherman for saving his life. And I tell kids, your friends will be upset with you when you tell them that they're living out of God's will. They're going to destroy their lives if they behave that way. And some of those people will turn their backs on you, and they will never be your friend again. But the ones
that understand what you're saying and change their lives realize the calamity that they were literally going to hell. They were going to die, be out of God's will forever. Yeah. They will thank you for that.
You see yourself as the man with the flair.
Yeah, I try. Mm. And I'm not trying to say that I'm perfect. I am a sinner. I am an idiot like everybody else. I'm just
trying to serve the Lord.
I'm just trying to serve the Lord.
Ryan, we were on the telephone 4 days ago, and you were telling me that the kids around you are nearly all having sex.
Oh,
that
yeah.
It is just an epidemic, that they don't even see anything wrong with it.
They don't. I don't understand how you can read the Bible, understand God's word, and then just do your own thing. This is where it's just infiltrated Christendom. It's the girls that are being hurt, Dad. It's the girls that are being hurt. Men are predominantly carriers. You know, yeah. Women, they're getting cancer and dying from this. They don't even know it because they've been lied to. I mean, it's not just that. It's impurity. It's in breaking your heart. I mean, girls are having their hearts broken. And I'm dealing with a kid right now. He's 23 years old. He had sex for the first time this year with a girl. And they've recently broken up. And she is devastated. And rightfully so. And it's different for a girl to lose her virginity than it is for a boy. It's different.
Not morally.
No, not morally.
Yeah, yeah, but practically.
But practically. Yeah. And psychologically, it's different. And he has now come to the realization that he took her virginity. It's different for her. He sees her reaction. They're not going to get married. They're not meant to be married.
He took something that didn't belong to him and then moved on.
And it belonged to someone else. Yeah. Now, she's not blameless either. She gave away something that belonged to someone else. That belonged to her future spouse. You know, and she's devastated for it. She understands that. And sometimes it takes that to wake somebody up. This young man that I'm working with is now, he's turned over a new leaf. I come to the house, he's in the Word. He's remorseful. He's talking to his younger siblings and saying, hey, don't make the mistake I made. Don't feel the way I feel. I wish I could explain to you how I feel. This is an awful feeling. I regret this. If I could take it back, I would. I'm so sorry.
Let's focus on absolute truth in a little more specificity at this point. You talk in your book about the three elements of absolute truth that are absolutely necessary to understand and believe. What are they?
The first one is that the Bible is the true and inspired Word of God. The second one is that Christ is exactly as the Bible describes him to be. And the third is that Jesus Christ is the only way to get into heaven.
Yeah.
And that's important. I mean, out here, you know, what I get from kids is it doesn't matter what you believe as long as you're sincere. It doesn't matter what God you believe in as long as you believe in a God. And that's not the case. You can only believe in one God. The Bible says, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one gets to the Father but through me, not through anybody else. Me and me alone.
Ryan, we will be praying for you, and I ask our listeners to be praying for you too, because it's a voice crying in the wilderness, and I think you've got a unique message. It's not really unique. It ought to be preached everywhere.
It should.
And many young people will not hear it from somebody my age. If I walk in there with a suit and tie on, they would not hear me.
Really?
At
they
all.
Wouldn't? You
talk about getting
that?
Booed off the stage. But they might listen to you, and in fact, they do. I thank you, Ryan, for having the courage to lay it down straight. And our prayers will continue to be with you, and I trust the Lord will use this book. Be intolerant. Because some things are just stupid. Ryan Dobson.
Thank you so much. It was great to be here.
It's a pleasure to have you on the program again, and I'd like to have an update from you as you go along.
Will do. Should I give you one now?
A couple of very familiar voices here on this Family Talk broadcast.
Well, it is amazing what has happened in the meantime. Who would have believed that you would be part of a regular program here on Family Talk along with Lou Ann, and that you would even have your own broadcast called Grounded on internet radio that's heard around the world. So you're doing 10 programs per week, five here and five on your own program, both of them with Family Talk. So you're program has been incorporated into the ministry of Family Talk. Who would have believed all that? Because we just sat down to do an interview on what God was doing with you.
I don't even know what to say. You know, I look back at all the things that have taken place since then, you know, writing more books and starting a podcast and then getting married and then feeling the call to move to Colorado and having no idea why, of all places, would the Lord have me move to Colorado. It was not anywhere close to my plans, but He was getting me ready for this, to be on radio with you and to be able to do my own radio program.
Doctor, I just think it's an example of how the Lord wants to use us when we're faithful right where we're at. And there's someone listening, the Lord's just calling them to be faithful where they're at. They don't know what's going to happen 5, 6, 7 years later.
Well, as I interpret what we just listened to, Ryan was highly emotional because God was working with him. He was talking to him and he was leading him in a direction he really didn't want to go. He explained that in those 16
minutes. There are heel marks from Southern California all the way to my door right now.
And yet you were faithful and look what he's doing now. I'm just so proud of you and thankful for your commitment to Christ that we heard there. Now let's go back to the theme of what we were talking about there, which is evangelism. More than anything else, that's what the Lord laid on your heart, is winning people to Christ.
Who would have thought I would grow up to be an evangelist? Really? That, and it never had crossed my mind. I remember the first time Jerry Hewson at Biola University walked up and said, "Would you go speak to a junior high youth camp?" And I remember thinking, no, I won't do that. It had never crossed my mind. And yet I've grown up to be an evangelist of sorts. It started off in high school. It still continues. One of the best times I have all year long is in the summertime when I get to go to Summit Ministries and talk to high school and college kids, or when I get to do a fundraiser for a Christian school because I believe in what they're doing with kids and they allow me to go and do a chapel. And then the rest of my year is filled with other events, and my radio program is primarily to adults. I do get some younger listeners, but I'm speaking to people who are my age and my situation in life. My co-host Tobin has a 9-year-old and a 12-year-old. I've got a 4-year-old. So it's not a high school program. It's for an older audience. But the evangelism and the message of truth is stronger today than even it was when we recorded this 7 years ago.
I see your ministry not as subtractive but additive. The Lord continues to put fields in front of you that are white unto harvest.
Sure.
And you will harvest them wherever you can. Many people don't know, Ryan, that you're an ordained minister. And you were ordained at First Family Church in Kansas City, Missouri.
That's right.
I was there on that day, and it was a great thrill for me. What is really interesting, Ryan, is our family history. You know, it goes back all the way to my great-grandfather, and nearly every person along the way has either been a minister or has been married to one. My father was an evangelist, and I didn't coerce you to do this or to go in this way.
No.
The Lord led you.
That's true.
I'm not a minister, but I sound a whole lot like one. So it's,
I think you're more of a minister than a lot of people think. You may have a PhD in child development, but you preach a good message.
Yeah. We're on the same team, Ryan. And Luann, you've been grafted into this vine as well.
Pleased to be here.
Before we go today, I really need to say something to our listeners. It is, of course, December, and this is a very critical time financially for every nonprofit organization. And many people don't know that their gifts not only support Family Talk, but Grounded. It's all part of the ministry that God has laid upon us. And we really do need help at the end of this year. We have made it through the first 8 months by God's grace, and He is still with us. But I want to say to our listeners who are there, if you could help us, this would be a good time to do it. And I want to tell you, we will be very appreciative to those who do. For those who can't, just pray for us. That's what we need more than anything else. Pray for us that the Lord will continue to bless this work because He clearly ordained it. And Ryan, I think He started 7 years ago. It's a pleasure to talk about you're part of this ministry, Ryan, and let's press ahead.
Well, and you've heard Ryan's passion today. And I know, personally speaking, Ryan, as the mom of a couple of young adults now, it excites me to see what you're doing, that we're pushing ahead into that next generation. Yeah. And I do hope we're speaking to someone today who says, that's important to me. I want to support Dr. James Dobson, and I want to support Ryan speaking to the next generation.
Explain how they can hear Grounded, Ryan.
Well, start at myfamilytalk.com. That is our ministry. I am a part of the ministry, and we'll have a link there to my radio program. It's live every day at noon Eastern and 9 Pacific.
And you can also find information there on Ryan's book, Be Intolerant, Because Some Things Are Just Stupid, as well as all kinds of other information about Ryan's ministry here. Again, myfamilytalk.com, or give us a call, 877-732-6825, 877-732-6825.
Merry Christmas, everyone. We'll see you next time.